Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 48 degrees and overcast. Today is Thursday, June 6, 2013. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The U.S. Forest Service believes fish populations in Redoubt Lake near Sitka survived last month's devastating landslide unharmed. The massive avalanche piled up debris over 20 feet thick across the lake's inlet stream, completely destroying a nearby recreational cabin whose occupants escaped in the nick of time. A watershed team recently surveyed the area and concluded that the Lake Sockeye Run was likely unaffected and may even be improved. They're expecting this year's subsistence fishery, the most popular in the Sitka area, to take place normally. The sockeye start to return to Redoubt Lake around July 4th. Subsistence dip netters get their shot at the silvery torpedoes in the lake's outlet stream. About a month later, the sockeye are entering Redoubt's inlet stream, Redoubt Creek, which is now under 20 feet of mud, rock, and timber.
It's not really a waterfall. It's a low enough gradient that they should be able to get up that. I mean, it's really not a lot different than the outlet falls to the lake that go into salt water.
Perry Edwards is an ecosystem biologist for the Sitka Ranger District.
So there's a short area where they'll have to really motor to get up through there, but the fisheries biologist was confident that sockeye should easily be able to ascend that and get up into that upper lake area and then the stream. And some of them may actually spawn in that new lake that's been created up there.
New lake? Mother Nature did more than scare the living daylights out of us when she chased Kevin Knox, Maggie Gallen, and their dog Luna down the lakeshore on May 12th. She also built a dam. During interviews following the episode, Knox reported that the stream was starting to carve a new channel through the debris field, but the stream was also slowly backing up. Perry Edwards says there's now a 55-acre lake formed between the walls of the gorge. In some places, it's 35 feet deep. Over 5 miles of the creek upstream of the lake remain unaffected. Edwards has no idea if the new lake is permanent.
Only time is going to tell. There was a lot of material that came down that slide, a lot of old-growth trees that were 3-foot diameter and are full lengths of trees that are crisscrossing in there like pixie sticks. So it's going to really take some energy between that and some boulders that, my understanding, were the size of Volkswagens came down through there. That it may be there for the long haul, or large flows may come through and carve itself down through that. We're really not going to know until time goes by.
The good news for fishermen is that the slide occurred at about the time sockeye salmon fry leave the stream gravels and move into the lake. The warming temperatures and snowmelt, which likely triggered the slide, also contributed to transporting salmon. The fry don't swim downstream, they drift, and Edwards and his team think any fry that weren't already in the lake probably made it safely over the new dam. The Forest Service spends around $100,000 per year on the lake fertilization program at Redoubt, pouring roughly 10 tons of fertilizer, mostly nitrogen, into the lake to stimulate the growth of phytoplankton, which feed the organisms which in turn feed sockeye. The agency then monitors the return at a weir at the falls. Last year, around 46,000 sockeye escaped fishermen's nets and bears' jaws and made it into the lake. Edwards says all the debris being held in the dam and in the new lake is that much more fertilizer.
It's going to be really interesting with that nearly mile of stream that's backed up and is filled up with so much water. All those trees that are in there, you know, are drowning as we speak. So what's going to happen with that? If that lake pops and goes down, we're probably going to have a lot of dead trees back there. Is that bad? Not necessarily. There's going to be a lot of nitrogen from those needles and the large wood as those trees start to fall down, which, you know, is going to probably start in the first few years with smaller ones and maybe 15, 20, 30 or more years with the larger ones that could create, to help create pool habitat and spawning habitat for those very salmon.
Both sockeye and coho rear in lakes. Juvenile sockeye, however, remain in their lakes for a couple of years before heading into the ocean. Little Redoubt Lake, or whatever it ends up being called, might be a boon to the fish and to the fishermen.
This upper lake, if it stays there, it could become very good rearing habitat for sockeye.
You can see photos of the new lake formed by the Redoubt slide at our website, kcaw.org. A 66-year-old cruise ship passenger from New Mexico was killed in Tuesday afternoon's floatplane crash on a mountainside near Petersburg. The Alaska State Troopers have identified the man killed in the crash as Thomas L. Rising of Santa Fe. Rescuers Tuesday night were not able to recover his body due to darkness and weather conditions. Five other cruise ship passengers and the pilot from Petersburg survived the crash and were rescued from the site Tuesday evening. Megan Peters is a spokesperson for the troopers.
The plane was a sightseeing tour, and the people on board, the six passengers, were all from the cruise ship Seabird. The wreckage had been found at about the 1,000-foot level of Thunder Mountain, and when it was located, there were six people that were found alive, and unfortunately one person that was found deceased. All the survivors were transported back to Petersburg so they could be looked over and treated for whatever injuries that they acquired in the wreckage.
The plane is a de Havilland Beaver, a fixed-wing, single-engine aircraft owned by Pacific Wings of Petersburg with capacity for one pilot and six passengers. It was reported overdue around 4 o'clock Tuesday afternoon, prompting a search by three commercial helicopters and a Coast Guard helicopter from Air Station Sitka. Coast Guard spokesperson Grant DeVoice says the crashed airplane was discovered Tuesday evening.
We were able to locate them when the Coast Guard MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter crew spotted one of the survivors. We were able to hoist all six of the surviving passengers. Unfortunately, one of the passengers was deceased. Of course, our thoughts and our prayers are with the family and friends of the deceased passenger. But thankfully, we were able to get the other six back to Petersburg, back to medical attention.
The Coast Guard reported finding the crash site around 6:50 Tuesday evening, and the survivors were returned to Petersburg by 8:20 p.m., DeVoist credits a working emergency locator transmitter in helping rescuers find the aircraft. The plane crashed near Thunder Mountain, just north of LeConte Bay and the LeConte Glacier, a scenic fjord over 11 miles east of Petersburg. Troopers say the injuries to the other passengers were serious but not life-threatening. The Coast Guard Tuesday reported one passenger had a broken leg and one had a broken back. Two patients were medevaced to Seattle for additional treatment. The National Transportation Safety Board sent an investigator to Petersburg Wednesday and was expecting him to get to the crash site by afternoon. The Philippines ambassador and consul general to San Francisco were in Juneau recently to celebrate the appointment of the first honorary consul of the Republic of the Philippines to Alaska. Jenny Strickler was sworn into office Monday night. She will assist some 25,000 Alaskan Filipinos. Rosemary Alexander has more.
Most people know Jennifer Ruth Gomez Strickler as Jenny. But once you're appointed to a government position that required all kinds of background check, and I swear that now the Philippine government knows more about me and my family than anybody else. Strickler knows Juneau's Filipino community well. She served as vice president, then president of the incorporated group for a decade. In October, she was appointed to a 3-year term as honorary consul to Alaska. Rafael Castaños worked on the project.
2 years. We tried so many years ago, but we were not successful.
Castaños credits Connie McKenzie, a former aide to Congressman Don Young, for planting the seed this time around when she asked,
why there is no honorary consul here?
The Philippine government has 10 consulates across the country. The San Francisco Consul General has jurisdiction over Alaska and 7 other states, as well as Northern California and Northern Nevada. San Francisco was a long and expensive trip from Alaska for passport and other document services. Years ago, the San Francisco Consul began visiting Anchorage. Now he visits Fairbanks, Kodiak, and in 2010 started coming to Juneau once a year. Strickler will handle many of the paperwork issues that Juneau Filipinos may encounter.
It's very much like a liaison between the Filipinos here and the San Francisco office.
Marciano Penor is San Francisco General Counsel.
As an honorary consul here, she'll be able to give visas, do legal documents that need to go to the Philippines, authenticate signatures. The most important thing that she will be doing is what we call assistance to nationals. So any Filipino or Filipino-American in the area can seek help from her. And we, meantime, in San Francisco, will be supporting her 100% in terms of information, in terms of contacts in the Philippines, and so on.
But that's just the paperwork. Philippine Ambassador to the U.S. Jose Cuisa is looking forward to economic ties between the state and the republic. Strickler joined Juneau Representative Kathy Munoz and Bethel Representative Bob Heron last fall on the first official legislative mission to the Philippines. The ambassador calls that a good first step.
They're also talking about establishing a sister city agreement between Calibo, Aklan. It's one of the cities that's very tourism-oriented, similar to Juneau.
The University of Alaska Southeast and Aklan State University are looking at a faculty exchange in fisheries. And Strickler says a seafood festival between the Philippines and Alaska is at the top of her list. She's retired from the Alaska Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, has written grants for the Juneau-Filipino community.
And one of the things that really excite me is I can facilitate projects between State of Alaska and the Philippines.
Paynor is also looking to her to help establish a Filipino emergency management team in Alaska.
In the event of crisis, so that we can immediately respond or help people throughout the state.
As honorary counsel to Alaska, Strickler is truly an honorary employee. That is, she's a volunteer. Though Painter says she will keep 50% of the fees she collects for document services to operate her office in the Juneau-Filipino Community Hall. He flashes a wry smile as he explains.
Basically, it's a volunteer job, so we thank her a lot for volunteering for this job.
In Juneau, I'm Rose Marie Alexander.
Currently 47 degrees and light rain falling in downtown Sitka. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for rain developing this morning. Highs around 53. East winds increasing to 10 to 20 miles per hour this morning. Tomorrow, rain, highs around 56. East winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Thanks for joining me. Have a good day.